Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today, that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio. Oh my goodness. You know, I wanted to be able to mention, you know, as Christians, you know, all authority is established by God, and they're his servants, and that he gives nations to whoever he wants to give nations to, and understand that we're to honor and respect, you know, authority. There comes a time sometimes where, you know, with the founding of America, where God begins to pull people out, where mm-hmm. they wouldn't let them have a relationship with God. But understanding that, but the last thing a Christian should be doing, or somebody doing and at the same time saying they're a Christian, you know, is defaming a king or defaming a president. And I've noticed a lot of people, you know, are saying horrific things about our president.
Right.
You know, I was at a radio station doing a spot on a radio station, and they invited me to come there. Mm-hmm. And I was doing the spot and da-da-da-da, and a picture was taken of me there. And I didn't look, but they had stuff all over their walls and that type of thing. But, mm-hmm. But when I looked at the picture, what was behind me was a defaming of the president's face on the wall. Gosh. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I never would have darkened the doors of that radio station if I knew that's where the heart. But this thing is that they call themselves a Christian station. We're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're not supposed to do that. You know, when you honor what's happening, those in authority, you're honoring God. I mean, mm-hmm. even Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Mm-hmm. You know, and God taught him a lesson even while he took.
That's right.
You know, it just understand that to talk against, this is what Proverbs says, don't talk against someone's servant, because they may overhear you and do harm to you. Hmm. Well, if all authority is God's servant, Romans 13:1-5, and you're talking against his servants, hello, God will hear it and do harm to you. Hmm. We're missing the point. And I'm saying that because Glenn Beck, took a little statue of our president with President Obama with the flag draped over him or something like that, and took this big mason jar and filled it with this yellow liquid that was to resemble urine. Mm-hmm. And he took the president's image and stuck it in this jar of yellow water, you know, trying to make it look, and then sealed it up, and he did it in front of, you know, all of his audience, and then he put it on eBay to be bidded off, and it got up to like $25,000, and eBay took it off. Think about it. eBay's got more integrity than Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then it's like, and I know, I hear Christians not even blinking an eye to that. Mm. Listen, we can't, that's not who we are.
No.
That's not who we're supposed to be. And that is not how we're supposed to treat the president of the United States.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to honor the president, the office of the president of the United States, even if they're dishonoring it. By mm-hmm. us honoring this man as our president, we're honoring God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sticking our, even though people in the world have done things, and you did bring the comparison up of, you know, people that call themselves artists or taking the crucifixion where Jesus is on a cross and they're sticking that in a jar of urine and putting it on display. Listen, that's wrong too. That's wrong too. But understand this, what was just done to our president. We are buying into the devil's plans for this nation. If we start attacking our president and his marriage and his family and him as a man, if we start doing that, we are buying in to the plan of Satan over this nation. Now, if you can talk about policies, you can talk about, you know, his, what, if he's making wrong decisions here, the First Amendment gives us right to petition our government, and he would totally be open to that. He's a constitutional lawyer. Come on.
Right. And I was just going to say that. I mean, the huge difference between talking about policies and talking about the person.
Right.
You don't want to talk about the person.
Right.
Because you're talking about the image of God.
Right.
You know, God created it.
And that just happens to be in America, because if it was a dictatorship or a king, then the Bible also says, you know, don't be talking about the king in your tents. Don't be talking about it. You know, understand that can be overheard. But we just happen presently to have a constitution, and that allows us to petition our government. And but he would understand. He understands that. But you know, he seems to be like a good father, a good husband, and his viewpoints are totally different than the majority of Christians. You know, that it's just totally out there compared to. But you know, it's not a theocracy in America. It is a a republic with a democracy, and that he's been voted in. And now we need to honor him in this. And, more things are going to begin to happen. I'll tell you now, more things are going to begin to happen that's going to cause your flesh to want to personally attack someone. Don't do it. Don't buy into that.
Don't buy into that.
Listen, if Israel would have attacked Nebuchadnezzar, then Nebuchadnezzar would have destroyed that. If a Jew would have attacked Nebuchadnezzar while they were under bondage to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar would have taken their life and God wouldn't have blinked an eye. Because he was there, he was God's servant. Listen, Romans 13:1-5 tells you this, but there's no reason to be attacking this man. You know, we just need to understand, separate. You know, understanding when people are talking about policies and these type of things, that you're not getting hate in your heart, that you're not, because we're not supposed to hate.
Right.
We're supposed to suffer for doing good. If somebody punches us in the right cheek, we turn to the other cheek. We, you know, somebody tells us to go 1 mile, we go 2 miles. If we get taxed $200, we say, here's another $200. We're not caught up in these worldly arguments.
Yeah. And it's your heart to hate someone that you're praying for. You know, I know that we've been praying for a long time for the president.
Right.
But, you know, what we're supposed to be doing as believers is praying for those who are in authority so that it will go well with us.
Right. Right. And even though you have a liberty to do things like Glenn Beck had a liberty to do that, you know, a Christian who loves God and was operating in the word of the Lord, the fear of God, would not have done that. You just don't do that. Even though you have a liberty to do something, you have a liberty to sin or liberty to dishonor, you know, you just don't do that. That's just wrong.
Right.
Totally wrong. It doesn't mean that everything that he's done is wrong, but that right there, and we have to call it what it is, that is wrong. It's ungodly. It's something that we should not do as Americans, and definitely shouldn't do it, you know, as Christians. And I just felt like I needed to say that, because I know that we've talked about some of the things that's been, you know, he says a great program and some of the things he does, but that he took a liberty way, way, way too far.
Next on VFN Radio.
Please, I want to briefly talk about, and I don't know if we're going to have full time to talk about it, but I will begin to share. I want to share on vision, you know, value-based vision management. This is our vision moment. This is a vision moment. And we'd like to share from time to time about it. But you understand, we're told in Proverbs 29:18 that without vision, a people will perish. They'll cast off restraint. They can't restrain themselves. So we're looking at a nation right now that doesn't have vision. We're looking at a church who doesn't have vision. We're looking at, you know, whole political parties. I mean, obviously you need a vision, but they don't even know they need a vision, you know. But, you know, vision, when you have vision gives you clarity in your life. It gives you clarity. Vision gives you purpose. Vision gives you purpose. It gives you purpose in your life. Vision helps you to see from your heart when your eyes are blinded from life circumstances. Vision gives meaning to your life struggle. Vision helps you be decisive and make clear choices without second guessing, because it either fits, and if it don't fit, you must acquit. It either fits the vision for where you're going or it doesn't. So you can make quick, easy decisions. People that are really indecisive, they don't have a vision. They don't know where they're going. So this could be, maybe this is the direction. Maybe that's the direction. A vision can be good and vision can be bad. But think about it. Even the corporate world understands this. And Jesus talks about it. He says, even the people in the world understand the signs and the seasons, but you, my own people, don't even understand it. The corporate world totally understands vision. And what much of the church doesn't really understand. I'm considering what God is saying very plain to us. Without it, you perish. I mean, corporations, they decide what their desired goal is for their company. They take their time in breaking it down to what they really want, what that really means, and they determine a few key words that kind of spell it out, but it's just keywords. I understand that you have, they have to be very basic and to the point. And then these keywords, they actually give kind of a clarifying statement to each of these particular words. And you think about it, and they make it brief. It's got to be real brief in there. Then they share this particular vision in all their meetings, in their large meetings, small meetings, their one-on-one. They measure their success by this vision. They print it off on all their printed material. They have it on their advertising, on their business cards, on their brochures, on their web pages. They post it on tiles and things inside of elevators where their customers and employees have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the Sam's Club or you think about the Marriott hotels, they even come to a point where they'll every day before they start their day, they'll actually repeat out loud like a choir or chorus of people, and they would say out loud and sing the vision. And look how successful Sam's is. Look how successful Marriott is. I mean, they're charging, what, $500 for a hotel room when somebody else can only charge $30 because there's no vision.
Right.
You just got to hope somebody's needing a room versus the vision draws them into it. So it makes me really think about Jacob. You know, Jacob was chosen by God. His name eventually became Israel, which you know today, which is the lineage of Jacob. And I think about him working for his evil uncle, Laban. And he worked for him about 7 years, and he wanted to marry his daughter. And he swindled him, basically gave him one daughter. But he said, you can have this other daughter if you work for me for 7 years. But you also, he worked out a deal where he could have, because he tended the sheep for his uncle. And there's sheep that didn't have good marking. They had like spotted, speckled, and striped sheep. And he made a deal, says, listen, you know, uncle, you know, messed me over, Laban. That if I'll do that, but can I have all these mismarked sheep? And of course, there were not many of them. Of course, his uncle goes, sure, you can have those two or three, whatever, however it's going to be. And so he worked another 7 years. But while he was tending the sheep, what Jacob did, Jacob knew that because he tended them, that they always went to the same watering hole to be able to water, to drink water. And he took sticks. And then these sticks, he cut up, carved them up to where they were spotted, speckled, and striped. He made them look that way. And so every day, the sheep would go down to be able to drink the water, and they'd have to look at the sticks the same way the corporate world understands. You got to look at the tile on the wall of the elevator to be able to push the button. So every day, you're seeing the vision. And the church is like, hello, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to perish if we don't get a vision. What is God saying to us? And so Jacob did this in his 7 years. Of course, he got the daughter that he wanted immediately, but he had to work out the 7 years. But then when he started to leave, he all of a sudden, these sheep started birthing spotted, speckled, striped sheep. You know, there's a multitude, so much so that, you know, greedy Laban is going like, I don't know if you can have all these or not. I didn't realize how many it's going to be. It's amazing how that always works, you know.
Right.
When you show up and you're blessed at a workplace and people think that you're going to be like everybody else, but they find out God's blessings on your life, you're like, I didn't realize I'd be paying you that much. Well, this was the deal, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, he started, he was keeping his side of the bargain. Jacob wasn't, he was going to leave. And Laban was fighting him. His uncle was kind of, you know, wanting to stop him or whatever. But by the sheep looking at the vision, looking every day, drinking the water, and this is a picture of what we're supposed to do. You know, that we are supposed to have a vision. You got to have it before you. Listen, the enemy's painting a vision for America, a new direction for America, a transformation of America, a socialism type America, a Marxism type of America, one without God in it. But if you'll get a vision for God and get a vision for his kingdom, and we share with you continually what God is doing through VFN Radio and VFN TV, that you can get vision, God's vision, hearing what he has in store for. I mean, Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk, wrote in chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, he specifically tells us what corporate world actually understands, and it seems that the church doesn't. He says, write down the vision and make it plain on tablets. I mean, they even put it on tablets and stick it to elevators so that a herald can run with it. Listen, if people don't know what you're doing and you're the only one that knows what's going on, that's not a vision. That's not working. You're not writing it plain enough. And he says, for the revelation waits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it will certainly come and will not delay. Realize that we're designed, those natural sheep that was happening inside of God's people under Jacob is a picture of us today. And if you are a leader, and you're seeing people paint visions for philosophies and men's traditions, and you see what's happening, it's like you're gathering a whole bunch of not supposed to gather stuff together. Let's get a God vision and a kingdom vision and begin to believe that the church can win people to the Lord and advance his kingdom, that we can train them up and launch them out and still stay related and be the family God's called us to be and paint that vision before us. Listen, without vision, you don't have clarity. There's no clear foundation. Listen, if God is sending that a vision out for his church, and he is, and you can be tapping into what he's saying, he'll do it through an apostle. He'll do it through a prophet. Now, if it's through a prophet and prophetic word, God will bring an apostle in there to be able to bring clarity and foundation to it. But it's what God is saying and what he's doing. And this clarity, this foundation, is actually what begins to bring us as his people into the next generation and the fullness of what God has in store for us. And we should see it every day. We should put it just like the sheep went down to drink water every single day. When we go drink the water of God's spirit and the bread of God's word, we should be looking at what God has called us to do. A vision for this generation to be able to advance the kingdom of God. Without vision, you perish.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Answering your questions on a variety of subjects. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'd like to ask about maybe a change that's taken place in my children's charter school. They went from one principal not allowing any religious expression, I guess, to now I was several members of the Baha'i faith in to speak to virtually the whole school. And I'm just wondering, you know, I thought, you know, that when I go and speak to them, I'd like some maybe guidelines.
Well, you're really asking for an equal access right. The fact that they allowed members of the Baha'i faith to come in for a school assembly is fine. They should allow Christian clergy to come in also as speakers for the school as well. They should. All you're asking for is equal access there, nothing more, but certainly nothing less.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner, and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich.
So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they had never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the confessing church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. It's exciting to see how our listeners, you know, you guys are coming in from all around the world and beginning to listen. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that we're not just some typical radio program. This is a very important thing that we're building here, this relationship. And it's going to develop and it's going to grow. And we're going to get through what's coming together. If you will trust, you know, like when I hug this lady, you know, she had, you know, some intrepidations and she needed some inner healing. You know, she probably would be that with anybody right now.
Sure.
But, you know, if we spent more time together, then we could build a stronger relationship and I could help her get through something. You know, obviously she was in a different state and she was heading out. But that's what this is about. That's what VFN Radio is about. You know, I want to encourage you, you know, invest your ears in your heart. He says, you know, you get faith by the hearing of the word. And I encourage you, you know, don't listen to, you know, VFN Radio just because it's a good idea. You know, let's begin to build our relationship. Let's communicate. We have all kinds of ways to communicate, you know, back and forth. Let's begin this because some things are happening, have happened, are happening, that's about to happen. That is, it's tragic, but it's more tragic than you can imagine. You know, America is being turned over. In our very eye, in front of our very faces, in front of our very blinded minds, you know, our nation's being turned over, and people are thinking it's a political answer. You know, the Speaker of the House, understand this, that Congress, as we talk about under the original tenet of the nation presently, has equal powers. The executive branch has equal powers to the legislature branch, and the legislature branch, which is the Senate and the House of Representatives, has equal powers to the president. So basically, when you talk about Congress and the Speaker of the House, which is the third in line for presidency, say if the president got sick or something and he didn't survive his presidency, and then the vice president, for whatever, didn't survive, the third in line for the presidency of the United States is the Speaker of the House. And he just fired Christians off the committees because they stood up for what's right. The third in line. You know, our hope was Congress. But he's got the same spirit. He's got the same spirit. He just fired conservative people who stood up for what? For the right to life.
you know, firing them in regards to getting them off committees and punishing them because they spoke truth. And, you know, and you're not for the Republican Party. It's like, well, we're actually for America, and we're for the people of America. And our party may be this and our party may be that. But what, when did it become wrong to be for America? When did it become wrong to be for, you know, for children?
Right.
You know, when did it become wrong to be for marriage? You may have a different viewpoint of marriage, but when did it become wrong for somebody else to express their opinion about what the hell they think it should be? And they got removed. Listen, church, the church just got Christians, meaning people that are walking by the evidence of their fruit. You know, not people that say they're a believer, but they're actually living like the world and buying into the world's ways. These guys, I mean, you got to be stand up for your stuff. I mean, when you're on the world spotlight and they're asking you, where do you stand in this? That's why you see some you know, seemingly going overboard, but they're really not. They're struggling with their faith when they're saying things like, well, you know, if that child was conceived and, you know, going through these dilemmas, they're trying to figure that out because so many people are not for. And Boehner, the Speaker of the House, which is the number three in charge in regards to taking over the country if the first two, the president and vice president, didn't make it, is of the same spirit.
Yeah.
He's of the same spirit. They're punishing them for speaking truth and openly, you know, doing it. And I don't know. I guess we're going to have a new party arise that has our values in it. And it's going to have to be an aggressive it can't just happen by, hey, it's good. Hey, let's have a good idea. Maybe somebody will start a party. It's like, hey, we got to have a party that agrees with our values.
Right?
And it's probably going to be called the persecuted party because, I mean, a lot of people, and there's, I mean, if you look at the statistics, I was just looking at Pew Research on the church. I mean, Christianity, you know, people at least professing to be Christians is the greatest number of people in America.
Right.
Even though the squeaky wheel, I mean, Islam is like 1.7%. You know, Christian church is like 79% of the religion in America. But you understand is that in America is the minority aspect of it. It's got the mics. They put the cameras on them. They do all this kind of stuff. And it gives you the appearance that there are many when they're not many at all.
Sure.
And so there's more people, I believe, that would begin to stand up and say, you know what? This is the kind of party I got to go with. It goes relates to my values. And a lot of us are going to have to go, you know what? For me to join that party, I'm going to have to repent. I'm going to have to deal with my sin in my life. I'm going to have to ask questions that I didn't have to ask myself before, because you don't have to in America anymore. You don't have to ask yourself these questions. Is that wrong? Is this right? You know, what does God say about this? And I know that it's been prophesied that a third party is going to be coming in America, but it's talking about, it's going to be a long road to hoe to get there. And normally a third party or something like that just secures the bid for whoever you didn't want to be there, because it only drains the votes off of something. But, you know, whatever, you know, we've got to start standing up for what's right. When you look at Great Britain and you look at Parliament, they have like 500 parties.
Oh, wow.
They got the Conservative Party. They got the Christian Party. They got different kind of, you know, the Labor Party. I mean, so we got to start doing is having, you know, breaking it down a little bit to who we really are.
Right.
And,
so my goodness, you can't fit the whole country in two parties.
You sure can't. And of course, the people that are own the parties don't like that. And they'll have to give up a lot of power to do that. But we just saw yesterday, this week, that the Speaker of the House, Boehner, do the very same thing, has the very same spirit that the White House has in the context of, if you Christians will just shut up, we can get a deal here. If you quit standing up for children who are unborn, we can get past this.
Right.
If you'll quit standing up for marriage, we'll get past this. You know, and they got fired. That's what happens. Your power comes in Congress when they put you on a committee. And when you get taken off a committee, and I've seen congressmen that are dead silent. They're just silent. You know, and Boehner. Yeah, Boehner. The Speaker of the House, Boehner, I meant. And trying to forget him. But it's just like, you know, and he is who he is. I mean, he doesn't say that I'm some Christian conservative. Right. I mean, he is who he is. And, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, it's a very thing, you think about it, that that the Republican Party supposedly is against unions, but yet they promote each other by seniority. You know, you're determined whether you're going to lead a party by seniority. That's union. That's how unions work. You know, we need to bust up the union in the White House and lead the unions, or in the Congress and lead the unions out here alone.
All right.
Maybe get some things done. You know, in that, you know, I was spending some time with the Lord this morning, and I just feel like He spoke prophetically to me that when you have a huge ship, a ship has a lot of mooring lines, these huge lines that tie the ship to pad eyes and to dock, whatever you call the things. Pat's going to tell me in a minute. That's on the dock that you tie the rope to. And that's what holds the boat in place. And imagine that America has all these ropes tied to all these founding values and what's important to us. And America is in front of us. We're watching right in our blinded minds. We're watching. You know, he says that their minds are blinded by the god of this world. You know, the church is in sin to the point that we can't even see what's taking place right now. We don't even know. You know, we're talking about build bigger barns tomorrow, and we don't even know that our life's going to be taken from us. Our freedom's going to be taken from us. Our everything that we hold, said we hold precious, is going to be taken from us. And the lines are just snapping. What happens when a ship starts to move, these huge, huge ships, you're talking about cities on the water, and sometimes these lines, even though they're like 5 inches thick, they would just pop, and they would kill people, these lines would pop. But literally, these lines are being cut. You know, our leaders, our political leaders are cutting lines. They're cutting lines. When Speaker Boehner fired these conservative Christians who stood up for what was right this week, that's a line being cut. That was a line that says that our leadership should not stand up for these values anymore. When our president goes to Cairo in his first international speech and empowers the Muslim Brotherhood, which now we're fighting on every side now, you know, that was a line that was cut. When the ambassador to Israel was ran out of Egypt and nobody said a thing about it, that was a line that was cut. When Iran says that they were going to build a missile, a nuclear missile, and blow up Israel until there's no Jew left, and we did nothing, we even said, our president said that if you do that, you're on your own to Israel, that was a line that was cut. When we said that the Muslim Brotherhood is the right people to be in power in Egypt, who just took sweeping powers over Egypt and dumped democracy and forced an Islamic-friendly constitution that they're going to have to vote on a little bit as they're rioting in the streets. That was a line that was cut. It was a line that was cut when we said that it was a video on YouTube that actually caused all this uproar in Benghazi when it was a dead ambassador and a dead soldiers, and we're still not even talking about it today. That's a line that was cut. It was a line that was cut when all of a sudden we allowed the United Nations to break the treaty that was originally made with Israel, with the West Bank, and all of a sudden that they acknowledge them as a nation and say that all of a sudden, you know, a observing nation, and they go back and they say, now we're a state. And we're going to build relationships again and mend our relationship with Hamas, which will be real easy because it's the same spirit. That's a line that was cut. It's a line that's cut. Israel's all alone. They're all alone. Those congressmen that just got fired for being conservative and standing up for what Jesus has stand up for, they're alone. And nobody's standing up for Israel. And guess what? Nobody's standing up for the church. And let me tell you, everything, all these lines are being cut. When the military just had their first same-sex marriage up in, I can't even think of the military facility because nobody else would do it in the context of the chaplains, that was a line that was cut. That was a line that was cut. There's like no mooring. There's no place for this ship to moor. There's no place for this ship to land anymore. You know, when we started saying that that children... You know, you can not only kill this child in the womb, but now you can take a pill which will lower the statistics down that makes it look like you didn't kill the baby because it's called the day after a Plan B pill. You know, when we said that, you know, marriage shouldn't be like God says it could be anymore, You know, we cut a line. When we said children shall rule the parents, we cut a line. When we said the church no longer is supposed to be family anymore, we cut a mooring line. When we said this thing called a huge gathering and a mega gathering that people don't even know nobody that Al-Qaeda can raise up in the midst of it, like happened in the church, in Hagee's church in Houston, which I love this man and what he stands for, but all the sheep are vulnerable in those conditions. When we don't even want to go out and tell somebody about Jesus anymore, a line has been cut. When we don't even think sin is sin anymore, a line has been cut, and nobody's concerned. Nobody's worried about it. You can't even get the church to be interested in Jesus. Why the world is amazing what's taking place right now. A caliphate, an Islamic rule, is surrounding Israel, the apple of God's eye, and the church is not even concerned about it. Not even concerned about it. When just maybe I want to tap into your narcissism a little bit. Whatever happens to Israel is going to happen to America. We didn't stand for Israel. What happened? We just saw these Christian conservatives get fired off the committees by the Speaker of the House, Boehner, because they stood up for those values. Why? Because there's no mooring places for those. There's no place in the Republican Party for Christians who stand up for what Jesus says.
That's right.
There's no place in the Democratic Party for people to stand up for what Jesus says. And the Democratic Party openly in the DNC when they were in South Carolina, openly said they didn't want God in the platform.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And booed God. That was a line that was cut. That was a line that was cut. Listen, and when these warnings that are coming and nobody's paying attention to them, we just explain them away. We bring something on the Discovery Channel. We bring something on the History Channel. We start trying to explain things. These talking heads that sit there that everybody listens to when they're only reading what somebody wrote in the back room on a monitor. They really don't know anything. If their lines get messed up, watch. They don't know. They don't know. And I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated with the church. I'm frustrated with Christians trying to tell the world how to be married and that men can't marry men and women can't marry women. And it's like, you know, our marriages are screwed up.
Yeah.
You have women, you have the wives dominating the husbands, criticizing the people out there in the world. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You have so much witchcraft and manipulation and idolatry and in the garbage on television and programs and movies that people watch on a day-to-day basis, inundated with it like it's part of their life's blood. You know, all along on this journey, and I know that I'm on my soapboxes, but I'm just like, you know, we're a ship adrift. All the lines have been cut. We're going towards a waterfall. We're going towards a waterfall. And everybody's acting as business as usual. But isn't that what God said it would be like in the days of Noah? It'd be like the days of Noah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He said people would just be getting married and doing business. And, you know, didn't Jesus say that many people are going to be invited to the party, but they're going to say, listen, I just got married. I got my relationships going on. I got a business going on. And they said all this different stuff. But it's just so shocking to see it. It's so shocking to see how narrow this road is. It's so shocking to see the hoodoo going on in the church and you know, yeah, things are happening, but look at the fruit. Come on. You know, where's the hunger for God? Where is the desire to learn his ways? I mean, think about it. I mean, think about this. I mean, we're like, I don't know if we're hours away or we're minutes away or how far we are away from this, but it's like, nobody's paying attention. Everybody's building their nest and talking about their nests. And it's like, my goodness. Money, things, stuff. And we're being bought out like a dog's bought out by a treat. And people are buying into it. I mean, if we can't even handle this pressure, how are we going to handle oppression?
Right.
You know, how are we going to handle, you know, I guess the true believers will come out of this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you really, when it's, you know, if you follow Jesus, you may die.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The persecuted church normally rises up during this time of persecution.
But it's this crying shame that we got to be persecuted to be faithful to our Lord and Savior who died for us. It's a crying shame that the one that forgives our sins, that we don't even think enough about him to get out of sin. It's just a crying shame. And we're losing it. This great experiment, this great idea that God has given us called America, we're letting them totally degrade our founding fathers, the writers of the Constitution. They're doing on every side. They're attacking this country, what it stands for. And it's like, all I can see is that a grace has been taken off of us, and God is allowing what only grace kept us. He's allowing these things to be dismantled in our faces. And and he's allowing us, he's giving us over to our lusts, you know, our desire for more. I mean, the stuff that you guys talked about on yesterday's program, I mean, that's just one lust. I mean, the lust, the sexuality and the images, there's lust for stuff and things and power and just more and me. And I was looking at this image of this dual image of somebody's post on Facebook. And it had two pictures side by side, and it has this young girl. She's just crying, and she's totally upset because two people are getting gifts. The one, she was getting a gift, and she was crying because she had some sort of digital device that only had 16 gigs of memory. And the picture next to it was a man, and you could just see his feet, that had Coke bottles for shoes, where he cut a bottle in half and made shoes with it. And it's like, you want to pay attention. It's coming in. It's coming in for a landing. Things you think are going to stand, they'll fall immediately. And don't be offended. Don't be offended with these leaders who just look all down and depressed because their big image fell. You know, their big organization fell. Realize that you were buying into it. And God holds you accountable alone. He's not going to have that man or woman standing beside you to justify why you bought into not doing nothing for God, not building a relationship with him, sending Moses to the hilltop instead of you going. It's time for you to begin to take ownership. Listen, you cannot, it's so crazy. Everybody's blaming everybody for their sin. And it's like you can never get rid of what you don't take ownership of. And if you go study God, God blames us individually for our sin. And he also credits us individually for our own personal repentance. And I'm just distraught. I'm distraught. You know, I'm hearing things like, you know, this is the year of the woman. I mean, come on. And the word of the Lord was that the sword of justice in this nation is being driven through the heart of her child. And she declares it's the year of the woman. What else do you want? The reason why there's so much aggression on the control of conception and pregnancy, because that is the thing that demands of a woman that I have to stop my life and I have to take care of this. But if I can just nip this thing called conception in the bud, if I can stop having children, then I can do what I want to do. As if it wasn't a great value to have children. As if it wasn't a wonderful thing to be able to conceive and carry this child in your womb. I'm seeing the spirit of children hated. They're hated by their parents. They're hated. They're like trophies sitting on shelves, but if they make a peep, they just jump on them. This Jezebelic, you know, you're just a charm on my bracelet. If you make too much noise, I won't have you on my bracelet. You know, I don't want this to be true. I mean, I've been not wanting it to be true for a long time, but this has been a long journey. It started, you know, with a process of bringing people to God, the people who declared that they wanted God and that they were Christians, and finding out that a lot of them didn't want to spend any time with him. They didn't want to know him. They wanted to have a party. I mean, we were shocked to find out that we said, well, we'll let them all come to God. And they didn't want to spend any time with them. They didn't want to abide with him. They didn't want to know. Only 19% of the people who call themselves a believer, according to George Barna, are even reading the Bible, which means this. They only have a clue of what actually God would want to happen. That's what that means. It doesn't mean that you're not doing some religious act. It's like you don't even know how the map on how to get home. And only 3% are concerned about where they are. I mean, we haven't seen nothing yet. 11,000 people being laid off, I think, by Citicorp this morning. We're about to see massive massive unemployment. Listen, all these gangs and these people that you see on TV and go, oh, whatever, they're going to come into your neighborhoods. They're going to come. It's going to come like a tidal wave because, listen, you got things that they don't have and there's no more things to get anymore. And so they're going to be coming into all these places that you've been blessed to have by God. And now that you're going to see the consequences of not serving God.
Yeah. We just shared the other day that the city attorney from San Bernardino told the local residents that they needed to lock the doors and load their guns because they just had to lay off 80 police officers and the city's bankrupt.
And now you have people with this recent shooting, this football player shot himself and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are comparing now the NRA, the National Rifle Association, to the KKK. Mm-hmm. It's like, how in the world do those two even cross? There may be some ignorant fools in the NRA that are stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the Second Amendment. It's not the KKK.
Right.
You know, the KKK is evil. Everything they stand for is evil. But mm-hmm. the Second Amendment's not evil.
Right.
The very fact that we can have weapons assures our government. The reason why they want to take them away because it assures that the government will have us.
That's right.
That's the only thing that keeps us. And that's what, you know, I was talking to somebody just yesterday, and they had a sign out in front of the yard, and it has this particular picture of this man. I wouldn't do this, but she did. And it had where he had been shot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some bullet holes or whatever. And it said, mm-hmm. And it's in front of her house. He said, there's nothing here worth dying for.
Oh, goodness.
And that's what's going to happen.
All right.
That's what's going to happen. You know, my concern is not the fact that people, you know, are going to do criminal things and that type. Everybody's got guns now. People that don't know how to shoot them.
Exactly. I mean,
you're going to have to go to the ground and be as low as you can as soon as Mrs. Smith pulls out her little Dillinger and starts firing shots wherever they're going to go. I mean, the NYPD shot innocent people when they pulled out, you know, at the Empire State Building. And you know Mrs. Smith, who's never shot a gun in her life, who's terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you better hit the ground and bury yourself.
Huh.
Because people are seeing our nation go, but they're turning to guns, they're turning to politics, they're turning to other things, but we're not turning to God. And the church is not out there telling them this is the answer. I mean, this is not, hey, let's just pray and fast. Hey, we're going to need to change our lives and repent. We've got to be willing to give up this thing that we're calling church and realize that we as people are the church who are believers, and all that word applies to us. Oh. And we need to say, quit saying it's him and it's them and it's us, it's me. God's word applies to you as a believer. You are the church. When he says that there should not be, what does light have to do with darkness? You know, that you are the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells in you. Realize that when you choose to have something that's dark in your life, you're making a choice to put that in the temple of God. And he says, this ought not to be so. I mean, there's consequences coming. God loves mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not that one man would perish apart from him, which means this. Great hardship is coming to bring the greatest number of people to a place of repentance so they wouldn't perish outside of him. I mean, I didn't want to say this, but it's just overwhelming me. It's overwhelming me. And it's like, at what point will we wake up? And it's like a slumbering, sleeping spirit has been poured upon us. So the consequences of our own lust is being poured over us. And all the mooring lines to anything that we could have docked ourselves to were taken away. And the last mooring line is going to be with America in itself is the Constitution. And that's being undone before our eyes, right before our eyes. All the founding fathers are being discredited. They're creating movies and concepts. I mean, it's amazing. Hollywood is so intensely into prophetically. And at least I think what it is that the liberal concept of people who stand for different values than the conservatives, they understand how to push a point. They use every form of media, news, and all this different stuff. And it's like, we can't even come up with a commercial that says, hey, you know, it's $125,000, Dad. They're charging me on my taxes to pay for understanding the healthcare of prostitutes in China. And that's our budget that we're proving. We can't even come up with a commercial like that to help our values. And it just shows me this. I just feel like that where we are now, and we can't even get people to get along with God's and for them, if you want to get along about your building, that ain't going to happen. But if you want to get along for your love of God and your desire to see people abide with him and to know him, to hear his voice and to be his disciple and to train them up and to launch them out and begin to advance the kingdom of God, come on. That's what you want to partner with. That's what you want to unite with. But these are perilous days. These are dangerous days. Israel is being surrounded, is surrounded. Our president shakes his finger at Syria like he's a king, like he's president of the world. And says, if you use chemical weapons, but you understand, if the president of Syria thought that he would live, he would listen. But you understand what happens to dictators once they surrender their nations, they get killed. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They get hung in hallways. They get thrown over, you know. And so those chemical weapons more than likely are going to be touched. You know, and it's the Muslim Brotherhood, everything inside of me. I know this by my spirit, and I know it by things that are happening, but I just know it because he empowered the Muslim Brotherhood and the other countries and the other nations surrounding Israel. This is the last dire strait of the Muslim Brotherhood on the crown on the northern borders of Israel. I mean, Israel's about to have to look up. They're going to have no other choice, which means the day of dispensation of grace could be over any moment. Any moment it could be over, because once their eyes are opened up, it says once the full number of the Gentiles come in, then the veil will be lifted off of the eyes of the Jew, and they would see and they would believe and they would be saved. What does that mean? That means everybody else is over for. That's how close we are to this. I mean, it's you know, obviously I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, and but I'm upset about, I want you to go with me.
That's right.
We don't want the whole church to be lost. We should be broken over the condition of the church, even if it costs you friends that are friends of the world, that are political leaders in the church, believe it or not. I mean, if your congressman is deathly silent at a time like this, I mean, come on. You should be screaming and hollering. Of course, you know, Michelle Bachmann did, and look what happened.
Yeah.
But understand this. The third in seat for the presidency of America, the Speaker of the House, fired Christians after standing up for just a few conservative rights, for what Jesus would say. That spirit is rampant in the land. America's in trouble. What do we do? Well, you need to get with somebody who actually is hearing from God. Realize that everybody's not hearing from the Lord. Obviously, they're not. If the people that were going around in the days of Noah acting like nothing was wrong, they weren't hearing, they couldn't hear, they couldn't see. But there are people, there's people in the woodwork, there's people out there that are hearing from God and they're preparing. I think about, you know, Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries. I think about, I can't even name them all, but there's a lot of ministries and people that are, ministries meaning servants of Jesus, who are hanging out with him. That's what that means, by the way. And you need to hang around, and you need to begin to change who you are. If you haven't been walking like this, it's going to take a while to change who you are. And don't complain about the world's marriages if you're trying to dominate your husband and your children. You know, rediscover what God says about marriage. Rediscover, because it says this is what's going to happen in the last day. It says seven women are going to run to one man and say, please take the shame off of us. We'll earn the living. We'll do all this kind of stuff. Just cover us. That's one of the last things that'll happen.
That's right.
And it's like, listen, it's everywhere. It's men, women. It's politics. It's the church. I mean, we have got to cry out to God. Begin to abide with Him. And prepare yourself. You know, a man who sees what's coming and doesn't prepare themselves. I mean, think about this particular man who just got pushed down in the subway, and he didn't know his life was going to be called that one moment. He was going to renew his visa. He had no idea that this argument was going to end in his death. Well, let me tell you something. This argument that's happening in America is going to end with many deaths. Deaths because they want to hurt the church. They want to hurt the Jews. They want to hurt Christians. They want to hurt Jews. And I you know, A compromised Christian is not going to stand up and yell, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, at a time like that. They're just going to stay silent. You know, and you want to be the one that stands up and say, yes, I believe in Jesus. you know, I have sinned, I have done these things, but I've repented, I've changed my ways, and I'm standing for God. I'm standing for God. Even if you throw me in the fire, the fiery furnace, and even if I die, and my God could deliver me, but even if he doesn't, I'm still not going to serve the devil. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion, 900 million, yeah, a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook. And it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up. And just you're joining us. And we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook. So it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. You can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. When you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He is a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories. Wow, at BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.